Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and the effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, overcome obstacles, and find positive outcomes. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hey friends, how are you all today? I hope everybody's doing good. I thought this might be a good day to talk about the stages themselves and some different ideas about Alzheimer's and how we progress through the stages of it and see how this could help you a little bit, all right? So we're just going to jump in right from the beginning and talk about the early stage. What are we seeing in the early stage? Well, for beginning, we're talking about the loss of adult learning. So a couple of weeks ago in my strategy show, I talked to you about how we move back through the stages. And we'll go back from our adult life back to childhood and so on and so forth, and how that happens. So in the early stage, this is where we're sort of losing our grip on adult learning. And that would mean judgment and reasoning and things of that nature. The person that has the diagnosis is struggling with gaps in their memory. Just the little things, lack of insight, lack of being able to track what was just said, changes in our schedule and being able to track those changes, going to the doctor, where we place things, can't find them anymore. Things about that, like that. And absorbing, what we learned in a conversation. Are we really catching the whole conversation? Are we confused with, what someone just said? Or why isn't this making sense anymore? And it's really just like the beginning of the memory loss and the cognitive impairment that comes with this diagnosis. So we start having problems with our habits when we're bathing, when we're going to lunch, when we're working with our checkbook, when we're supposed to be at various events and things like that. And we start struggling with, whatever I was supposed to do didn't happen today. Why didn't it happen today? I think I was supposed to go to the chiropractor. If you're driving a vehicle or making other executive decision skills, such as paying bills and maintaining correspondence, it's going to become increasingly more challenging in the early stage. You're going to struggle with getting lost or missing or repeating payments on bills, and they can that can really wreak havoc with your personal finances and things like that. And it's not a big deal unless it's a safety concern, but you definitely want to make sure that you're getting your bills paid. So when I say safety concern, what I mean is making sure you're paying your utilities, your electric bills and things like that. You don't want your lights shut off and things like that. If you're struggling with those things, those are things that you really need to talk to somebody about and say, hey, I'm trying to maintain my independence, but I have to safeguard myself and make sure that I'm getting these various issues taken care of, because if I don't, it's going to interfere with my life and my safety and so on and so forth. Not only that, but this is where you're going to start seeing issues with social skills, answering questions at the right time, answering questions or conversations and your part in it correctly. you don't want to say, if somebody asks you a question and you didn't hear it, you just say yes or no, and it could be catastrophic in what that person was asking you and how they view you at that point. So socially, this is where we start seeing some changes in not only our personality, but the way that people are dealing with us. And when that happens, you're going to see changes in your own mood and your apathy on subjects or depression about how you're answering questions. You might find yourself irritable with a lack of being able to filter what you're saying, and that could be perceived as negative from some of the family members that you're dealing with. So, you know, some of the common problems that you're going to have in this early stage is with word finding and problems with finishing sentences. So if you're struggling with that, and I'm talking directly to the people with the diagnosis at this point, if you're struggling with that, please tell people it's okay to let you know if you've missed a word and that they can insert the word for you. They can help you with finishing your sentences. If you're repeating yourself because you didn't know that you just said something a few minutes ago, tell them it's okay to tell me if I'm missing something, if I'm saying something more than once. Abstract thinking. Thinking out of the box, thinking about space and time and what day is it, what time is it, where do I need to be, is going to become challenging for you, and you're probably going to replace that with more concrete ideas. I need to be at the doctor at 2:00 tomorrow. Put that on your calendar. Ask someone to remind you. I have to go to the store. These are the 5 things I need. I'm going to write them down on a piece of paper. These types of assistance, this type of assistance that you provide to people will make your life so much easier if it seems like they're not understanding you or you're struggling with these various issues, okay? Something else that will come up is you're probably going to have trouble in writing and reading. If this happens in this early stage, I'd like you to take a blank piece of paper and follow it down the page of whatever book or newspaper or whatever it is you're reading. If you're used to using a phone or a tablet, it makes it a little easier because you can scroll slowly to see just the line that you're looking at. Okay, try not to pull up the whole paragraph if you're trying to read something. In those early stages, that can be really, really frustrating. Some of the things that you're going to lose, unfortunately, is the ability to read clocks and watches and calendars and staying up on what time it actually is and where you need to be at certain times. These type of social struggles, for it's the best word I can think of at this point in time, can be assisted if you allow your family members or your friends to give you simple reminder calls, to, you know, let you know the night before that you have to be somewhere, or call you 15 minutes before you have to go. They could, if you're used to using a phone, they could put reminders in that will chime or, you know, ding, ding, ding. My phone does that, you know, 15 minutes before I have an appointment. I often will put that timer in like 30 minutes before so that I remember that I've got to get out the door. I've got, you know, X amount of time to get out the door at a certain time. Go ahead and use your phone and things like that for those personal reminders. Those kind of things are really, really disheveling. They feel, you know, like you're starting to work at a deficit. But please don't think that way. Think to yourself, what can I do to help open the lines of communication about the subtle changes that are going on that really affect the breadth of the content of whatever it is you're dealing with, okay? Try not to totally take this as, now I have a deficit in this area. I can no longer do this for myself. I'm struggling with it, and I can't tell anybody, because that's not going to serve you well, all right? Go ahead and let people help you, because that way you won't narrow the expression of yourself, if that makes any sense to you. Don't narrow the way you see yourself. Don't silo yourself as being defective. Just think, this is a change I need to make, which will make my life easier. Okay? I think those kinds of things will really, really help. This is what I'd like you to do. I'd really like you to confide in your family and your friends and tell them how you feel about where you are in the early stage. Visit your doctor and ask for a thorough evaluation, and get a team approach. Have somebody help you with your nutrition. Have somebody help you with changing your likes and your habits and your talents into activities that will work well for you in the future. Then you can write all those things down and make some goals, so that as the disease starts to progress, you don't feel like you're kind of lost. Okay? Let's try and see what we can do to have a team approach to help you with that. There's no doubt about it. Stressing about, you know, what you're missing, stressing about lost appointments, stressing about not being able to remember words, can worsen your symptoms. So look at simplifying your life. Structure your day differently and have really clear goals that you want to accomplish, so that you can delegate where you need to and get assistance from people where you need to and work through those issues, okay? If you plan for the future, you can make decisions about, you know, what you want to do for legal and financial and medical wishes. And if you can express what you want and what you need to make your life easier today, have somebody else pick up the kids from school, have somebody else help with meals, have somebody help you with putting your appointments in your phone or on your calendar. If you can do that and tell people that you need them, you love them, and that you appreciate their love, it's going to make everything so much easier, okay? And just because you're aware that you're forgetting, forgive yourself. It's all right. Nobody died. You're okay. You can forgive yourself for what you're losing. You can forgive yourself for what you've forgotten, and be sure to ask for help, okay? Now, the person that is caring for that person, make sure you get the right diagnosis. Make sure you know what you're looking at, what the symptoms are going to be, what the progression is going to be. Look at your own emotions as a caregiver about the memory loss and aging that is going to be occurring. Write some of those things down. Put them in a journal. Make it easier for yourself to accept what the diagnosis is and how it's going to move forward. Educate yourself. This is what I do. I try to help people educate themselves about the disease, so that when they're in my classes, I can say, well, if you're dealing with this, work with it this way. I think information goes so far. You do not have to be in the dark about these diseases or any issues surrounding it. Make sure that you get legal and financial and medical plans in order. Make sure in the early stage that you are looking at a power of attorney. You're looking at trusts if you want to give money away from a philanthropic kind of thought process. Make sure that you know who's the power of medical, who's the power of financial, and get your will done. Okay, these are things that can help. Now, as far as everybody working together, make sure you have activities that you want to do, interests that you want to complete before it gets too late. Mobilize your social circle to help you with those particular things you want to do, going to certain movies, getting extra support in other areas, having somebody come in and help you throughout the day with cleaning your house or, getting your groceries, all those kind of things. And look at your strengths. Emphasize your strengths. Your long-term memory is still there. Okay? So if you can continue exercising and using your motor skills and recording your stories, making photo albums, visiting family and friends, all those kind of things will make you feel like you're still valuable, that you still have a purpose, and really expand on those strengths that you have. Don't always focus on the negatives of what you're losing, okay? So I think those are things that you can do. And my tips for you to be resilient, go ahead and shrug your shoulders if you need to. Learn to ask for help. This is all about overcoming those obstacles and adversity to find that positive outcome. Prepare for what's coming next. Look at changes and decide how you're going to handle them. And really concentrate on the role that you have of maintaining your strength with the role of your loved one changing what they're doing to help you. Okay? Say what you need to say. Get your memories down as much as you can. And really, really tell people what's on your mind. Super, super, super important, okay? So next we're going to go through the middle stage and the early middle stage, and that's where you're going to go back to adolescent learning. And this is for everybody listening, caregivers and the people with the diagnosis. And what are you doing? What's changing? The landscape of emotions has shifted. We're having changing drives for what we want to do. Our passion level and our interest is changing at this time. It's getting to be more like you were as a teenager, where you're more open to what's happening around you and feeling good about it and starting to feel passionate about things. The truth of the matter is, folks, when you get into that middle stage, in the early middle stage, you start losing the anxiety that you had about the loss of your memory and more embracing the love and the hugs and people working with you on a better plane, and you've got plans in order, you can relax a little bit and let families help you with what is going on at this point in time. If you're struggling with doing your laundry and things like that, let them help you. This is where you're going to have trouble with cooking and taking care of your own finances and things like that. This is a chance for you to let somebody come in and maybe automate all your bills for you and take care of housekeeping for you. And those little things that have now become a struggle can stay little. They don't have to become big. They don't have to hamper you. They don't have to smother you. They don't have to, feel like you're being harassed, because you're allowing family and friends to come in and help you with those processes that have become a little bit more difficult. All these things can help you with the transitions of the stages and to really help you understand that you're no longer understanding maybe the whole scope of every situation, but you don't need to, because you've opened the door to letting family members come in and help you. And if you can really relax and feel the less of a struggle, your whole scope of how you're going to see things is going to change. It's because, honest to God, really, agendas and behaviors around agendas can be very complicated. Going to the doctor, going to the store. And if you can support caregivers, if you can support the person's perception of you know, what the process is going to be. And if the person with the diagnosis can say, you know, right now, right here in this moment, I'm struggling with getting out the door. Can you help me with my coat? Can you help me with breakfast? Can you make breakfast? If we can work through those obstacles and have clarity and say, this is what I need from an emotional standpoint. I'm feeling stressed this morning. I can't seem to get in the shower and get dressed and get out the door. Can you really work with me and help me with breakfast? And can you help me with my clothing? And can you work with all these issues that I'm having? When you have that open communication, it's so much easier. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back and we'll talk about the communication changes that are going on.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome back to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back. And I'm talking about the early stage and the mid stage and what you will see as a person with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's mostly. It could apply in the Lewy body stages as well, but I'm really talking about Alzheimer's today. And now we have progressed to, we're talking about the mid stage right now, okay? And some of the problems you're going to have are going to be with judgment and self-neglect in this stage, because this is where you're relying on long-term memory and your habit patterns so that you know when to take a bath and a shower and that you need to get ready in your day to go to a certain appointment you've had for years and years and years and things like that. And we have habits that we do and they don't go away. We just may be forgetting them. One of those things might be like taking your dentures out at night or something like that. Because of the short-term memory loss, you're going to have some things that are just going to be shifted to an assumption, you know, like, oh, man, of course I took my dentures out. Yeah, I did, didn't I? Oh, wait a minute. No, I didn't. They're in right now. So you'll have silly little things like that that happen. Again, don't worry about it. It's not super distracting. It's not a big deal, but they're just things that are going to happen and they're going to change, okay? Now, in this stage, some of the communication problems that happen are repetitive questions. What time is it? What time is it? What time is it? And you're going to have a much more shortened attention span that you're dealing with. And that is all. It seems so common in every family that I have ever talked to. The repetitive questions start coming up in sort of that early middle stage. And when that happens, this is where you need to get to agenda-driven communication, okay? So what I'm talking about is it's 11 o'clock, it's time for lunch. It's 2 o'clock, it's time for a walk. It's 4 o'clock, we're going to go to the store and get food. It's 5 o'clock, we're going to make dinner together. At 7 o'clock, it's bath time, if that's what you always did. At 9 o'clock, we're going to watch the news or we're going to get ready for bed. Okay? A lot of the repetitive questions come based around time and routine. And the person feels like there's something they're supposed to do. They always had lunch at 11 o'clock or 11:30. They always had their first meeting at 9 a.m. or something like that when they were working. And what happens is they'll start pacing. They'll start asking, what time is it? They'll start looking for people. They'll start thinking they're supposed to leave for work, things like that. And this will become much more prominent, like I said, in that early mid stage. So if you can put activities, if you can write it on a whiteboard, if you can add it to a visual screen for somebody, that's going to make information so much easier and a way for them to find it, a way for you to cue it, and a way for it to be structured so everybody feels successful. Okay, so if a person at that point in time can't remember retiring and they think they need to go to work, you're going to have to put something in that spot. This is why we have these issues. So again, you might work on a puzzle, you might have them read the paper, you might watch a game show on TV, but just make sure that there's something in that time period. Be sure to always ask someone who has this problem going on. Make sure they're socially engaged. What did you do today? Can you tell me what your favorite part of the day was? You know, did you enjoy your afternoon? Asking yes or no questions will make it easier for them to answer you and to discuss what they did throughout the day, as well as being able to really visualize and see what they did on a whiteboard or on a calendar or something like that. Making sure that they have access to that information will make them feel better, okay? You, in the mid stage, you will have some reading that is still intact, but writing is going to start becoming more impaired and difficult. So give yourself a break. If your handwriting isn't great, if you feel like that's a struggle for you, just understand that it is, you know, even cursive could be really difficult for you. Maybe you go back to just printing in upper and lower case and not trying to write in cursive all the time. Okay? For the person with the diagnosis, during this phase, you're going to forget that you're forgetting. And honestly, you could either have uneasy gaps in memory where you're struggling with it, or it could just be easier for you to let it go and just try to be at peace with what you're losing and allow more people to help you. You could have an adverse effect where you're blaming other people for things that you're missing, for appointments that you're not on time for burning your food. These kinds of things happen, and it's going to really center around your self-dignity and your feeling like you're being appreciated and you're feeling like you're still engaged adequately in conversations. So if you need to write things down, if you need to talk about your self-esteem and how it's suffering and maybe how your sense of control is being lost, it could be causing depression. It could be causing you to be angry, but it will be super helpful if you can define it. If there's something that you can say that will give people clues to your emotional well-being, I think that will help you enormously because you're going to need support maintaining yourself a sense of personal integrity and letting people know when you're not feeling good about yourself, and you have to express your emotions, because if you don't do that, your loved ones won't know where you are, and you're going to have a lot of miscommunications, okay? When you get frustrated about something, don't quit. Just simplify it and make it a little bit easier for you to express, okay? Now, for the caregivers, you have to start familiarizing yourself with the techniques that are going to work and the ones that are irrational, the ones that are going to disorient your person, or how you're going to de-escalate situations. You need to become an expert on where your loved one is, where they are with their brain and their cognitive loss. And you can do that through reading books. You can do that through taking classes. You can do that in a lot of different ways. And be aware of your own body language. What are you bringing to the table? Are you nervous? Are you anxious? Are you sad? Your loved one with the disease is going to mirror those emotions and follow your lead. So if you can feel more comfortable and feel like you have more information to work with, you have strategies and techniques that you can utilize, and change your body language and the tone of your voice and gestures to really assist your person and show more love and kindness and joy and no fear, that will help them enormously with the way they're communicating with you. And always, always, always look at the safety issues in your house. Are there pitfalls? Are there loose rugs? Are there potential wandering issues? What can we do to make sure that your loved one is safe and you've got extra locks on the door? You've got black rugs in front of the doorway so they don't step on them and walk out into the world and you can't find them again. Get a life track system. It's called Project Lifesaver around most of the world. In Colorado, we call it Colorado Life Track. But get a device that can tell you when your loved one has wandered where they are. These are super things to help you be as safe as you can with your loved one. Get in a support group. Get into an education class. Look at ways to maintain your living situation, your home care, adult daycare. Do you need some extra time to yourself? Would it help if you had home care come in 3 hours a day and maybe clean the house or make some meals or help with bathing with your loved one at this point in time? And can you get them to something like an adult daycare center where they could go for 4 to 8 hours a day so you can go have lunch with a friend? You can go have coffee. You can go work out if you need to. Things like that will really, really help you. And if you can, please don't utilize phrases like, "Do you remember?" to your loved one. Don't say things like, "Do you remember when we did this? I remember when you did that." Ask yes or no questions around what you need to know. Do you remember that tomorrow is your granddaughter's birthday? No. Say it as, "Tuesday is Iza's birthday, and we're having a party at 4 o'clock. I'll write it on the whiteboard." Okay? These are things that you can do that will change your dynamic with your person who's in mid-stage. You know, one of the things that's a really, really strong medium, of course, is music. And music seems to really bode well in the mid-stages. It helps our people with diagnosis to find peace. It's relaxation. It can simply just make the whole dynamic and the whole aura of the room to be much more pleasing and fun and enjoyable. So think about adding music in the mid stages. Just huge. if you're doing any activities, if you're dancing, you're doing artwork, you're going on trips, you're doing certain things that require sequencing from A to Z and multiple steps, make sure that you simplify the steps based on what that person can actually do. I've had shows on this before and talking about in the early stage, they drop about a quarter of the steps that they need. By mid-stage, they've lost about half of what they can do. By late mid-stage, they're down to about they've lost three quarters of what they can do. And by late stage, they've almost lost 100%. So as the person is progressing through these diseases, please make sure that you always channel that energy to being simplified and enjoyable. And it's more can they participate in the engagement process, not can they complete it. So can we pull out a big puzzle and just work on a few pieces for a while and not complete the whole puzzle? Can we listen to an audio book and we'll listen to just three or four chapters, not the whole book? Can we start baking cookies and maybe they add a few of the ingredients, but they don't have to be there to put them all on the plate and put them in the oven and take them back out? Make sure that you are simplifying whatever those activities are. And you can do simple ones like cutting out coupons, sorting papers, going for long walks and drives, going to the grocery store, doing household chores, things like that. But again, it's more about the engagement of the piece, not per se what they completed. Okay, so let's just make sure that we're trying to do those things. Now, your tips for resilience, anticipate problems, simplify your expectations, and make sure the environment is conducive to them being successful. Okay? Shift to present tense and enjoy the time that you're engaging in. Make sure that you're in the moment. Shift to present tense. Look for pearls of wisdom. Look for that thing that they said that brings you back and makes you know that they are having moments of extreme lucidity. Develop good listening skills. Definitely listen. And while you're listening, make sure you learn something. Develop patience and use good body language when you're working with your loved one. Okay? And always validate. Always validate that they did a good job. Give kudos. Be creative. Applaud the growing awareness and ability and your own ability to care for that person and the person to care for themselves. Okay? And if you need to vent to your support systems, do it. It's okay. But always make sure that you're focusing on and learning about the meaning and the practice of unconditional love. It will serve you well. I think what I'll do is the next time I have a strategy show, I'll continue into the late stage and we'll talk about the late stage, but it's a whole nother ballgame. That could be a show about not only the late stage, but also hospice and the ways to get through the late stages as they are occurring, because it creates a whole new host of issues that we're going to have to work through. So in the upcoming weeks, in March, the first Wednesday in March, I will again have my Alzheimer's caregiver classes, and would love to have you attend. It's always at 3055 Roslyn Street. It's at the A.F. Williams Learning Center, and it's actually where the docs are for the University of Colorado Hospital. It's Suite 100, but I'll meet you right there and be ready to have the class from 1:30 to 3:30. It is free and open to families living with this disease, Alzheimer's or Lewy body. It is not open to professionals. It is free of charge, and all you have to do is go to my website, summitresiliencetraining.com. You can sign up right there, or you can call 303 303- 303-420-6988. Again, 303-420-6988. And you can register that way. Not only will I be having an Alzheimer's class at that time, but in April, on the 1st, that's when the Alzheimer's class is at the Roslyn Center, Roslyn address, as I was just telling you. But I am also having my Parkinson's class on Tuesday, April 7th. And that is from 1:15 to 3:15, and that is at the University of Colorado Hospital. And you can go on my website. I have all these listed under events. You can get all the information. You can sign up. So again, April 1st, I have my Alzheimer's class. And on April 7th, I have my Parkinson's class for my family caregivers. And all you have to do is go to summitresiliencetraining.com and you can sign up for either class, okay? And get all the information about where it is, what time it is, and so forth, and even what the particular class is about. And for my Alzheimer's people, that particular class in April is going to be about managing your emotions. You know, it's something that we really need to take a look at. I love that I have listeners all around the world. And recently I've discovered that I have listeners in 49 states. I'm still waiting on Montana. If you're in Montana, I'd love to have you listen to the show sometime. But I'm also proud that I have listeners in 44 countries. And you know what that tells me, my friends with diagnosis and my caregiver nation? It tells me there's a lot of you out there who need help and that you're doing the best you can to work with whatever diagnosis you're working with and that you could use all the assistance that you can get. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a great, great rest of your week. Remember, I love you, and come and listen to the resources that I have. Go on my website, look at the Knowledge Center, sign up for classes, and I will be here next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. To learn more about her resources, services, classes, or to book speaking engagements, visit Jill's website at summitresiliencetraining.com. A new podcast drops every Tuesday, so join us as we learn more about dementias, resilience, and overcoming obstacles to find a positive outcome. Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz can be found on your favorite podcast provider. Please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Musical and technical support provided by Brian Hunter. See you next week.